وأشهد أن محمدا عبده أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
إن شاء الله we will continue with the explanation of الرسالة of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani رحمه الله تعالى. Last week we touched where the author says وَاَقْتُلِفَ فِي نَفْسِ الْمَرْأَةِ فَرْجَهَا فِي إِيجَابِ الْأُدُوءِ بِذَلِكِ. He said there is difference of opinion among the scholars of Malikiya concerning a woman touching a private part. في إيجاب الأدوء بذلك. In making ablution compulsory as a result of this. We have said that there are hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that say من مس ذكره فليتوضا. Whoever touches his private part should perform ablution. The scholars disagree concerning the meaning of this hadith. They all agree, or we say majority of the scholars of hadith, they agree that the hadith is authentic. مَنْ نَفْتَى فَرْجَهُ مَنْ ذَكَرَهُ فَلْيَتَوَضَّعْ. Whoever touches his private part or his male organ should perform ablution. There is agreement on this. But the area where there is dispute concerning the interpretation of the hadith is that some scholars said if you touch your private part, whether you intend what out of this, your ablution is broken. Whether you intend or not, some say it is when you intend any enjoyment from touching the private part. Some said it is mustahab. Mustahab, then one touches one's private part, or the hadith is talking about somebody who is touching the private part in order to get a kind of enjoyment. Or the one who touches the private part, regardless of whether it's looking for enjoyment or not. And it is not that it is mustahab, it is wajib. We said most scholars, they upon the fact that whoever touches his private part, whether as a result of enjoyment or not, it is compulsory. This is what majority of the scholars of the Madhab are upon. However, some scholars are of the opinion that the hadith مَنْ مَسَّ ذَكَرَهُ فَلْيَتَوَضَّعْ has to do with one way who is doing this in order to derive lust out of it, or to derive any enjoyment out of it. This is ascribed to the Hanabila. Then some scholars, the mustahab, it's not that what it is compulsory. The reason why they say it is mustahab is because of the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Talq bin Ali, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that the one who has ablution and touches his private part, is ablution still valid? It was said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al huwa illa baba'atun minki." This is only baba'a, that is part of you. Touching your private part is like you are touching your leg, you are touching your arm, you are touching your chest, and the like. So, al-huwa illa baba'atun mink. So, they said, this means it is what? It is mustahab. That is a hadith. Man matta dhakarahu falyatawadda. That hadith is referring to what? It's ihbab. It's not wajib, because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sanctioned or permitted the one who touches his private parts to go ahead to pray with the ablution. So some said it is istihbab, some said it is compulsory. What is the response of those who say it is compulsory to this hadith, al-huwa illa baba'atun mink? Some of them say the hadith is da'if. Some of them say the hadith is da'if because of the son of Talb bin Ali. Talb bin Ali was a companion, but his son Qais bin Talq, they said the person has da'af. So some scholars of hadith say this is da'if. They said another interpretation for that hadith is that the one who touches his private part behind his screen, not that he has direct contact with the private part. Take for instance somebody who touches his private part on his watch, garment. That is the hadith of Talib bin Ali. This is the interpretation given to this hadith by some scholars. But wallahu alam, the more correct opinion is that the hadith of Talib bin Ali can be considered to be mansukh. Wallahu alam. Then the hadith of Basra, the hadith of Abu radiallahu anhu, which have to do with man matta dhakara falyatawadda, this is what majority of the scholars are upon. So, and it is compulsory on one to renew one's ablution if one touches one's male organ. It is compulsory to do that because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which mentions farj. Not only dhakar. In our stage, إِذَا مَنْ نَسَّ فَرْجَهُ, whoever touches his private part. Now, farj, yes, referring to the male organ, also referring to the female organ, in fact, referring to the anus. Because farj is like an opening. So, مَنْ نَسَّ فَرْجَهُ, whoever touches his private part, he said, وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَ وَبَيْنَهُ سِتْرٌ وَلَا حِجَابٌ, and there is no any screen between his hand and the private part. فَقَبْ وَجَبَ الْأُدُوُ, yet udu is compulsory. Now with this hadith, it shows that what it is compulsory if one touches one's private part. Whether you do it in order to derive any pleasure, or you do it mistakenly. The most important is that you have touched the private part. Then the author rahmahullah ta'ala said here, he said waqtulifa, the scholar disagree concerning mass al mar'ati farjaha fi ijab al wudu. It became to the woman based on this hadith that you have read, man massa farjahu, that is general. So, and this is what majority of the scholars are upon. They do not differentiate between the male and the female. Whoever touches the private part has to renew his or her ablution. Whether this is done in order to derive a pleasure or not. So it is not mustahab, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala has said, nor indeed somebody who touches it out of lust, as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said. So what majority of the scholars have said is that whether the person touches it out of lust or not, so it is wajib because of the hadith for called wajib al-udu. All this is clear. And it is what? It covers male and female. Now, let me ask this question. What about a woman who touches the private part of a child, small baby, or a man who touches the private part of a small baby? Is this inclusive or not?
No.
If you say no, or what is the evidence? Because the hadith says what?
Farjam.
So the one who touches the private part of another person. Maybe let's assume that maybe a doctor is attending to a patient and has to touch a private part of that patient, and the doctor has ablution before. So are you saying that the ablution is still valid?
According to the
hadith, so if one touches one's private part and the ablution is broken, so if you touch it, if one touches the private part of another person, the ablution is still what?
Right.
Still valid. So if it is not valid by touching your own private part, definitely if you touch the private part of another person, it takes the same ruling. And this is what majority of the scholars are upon. So there is no difference between your private part and the private part of another person if there is necessity warranting you touching the private part of another person. Maybe a man touches the private part of his wife, for instance. This is permissible. So the man who touches the private part of his wife, or the wife who touches the private part of her husband. So the same ruling. Now the question is, the one who touches the private part of a small baby, male or female, is the same ruling applicable? Yes, some scholars said no, that the same ruling is not applicable because the small baby is not moderu shahwa. It's not a place of lust where one can derive enjoyment. Is that true? Yes, generally people will not do that. But some people who sleep with only a girl of 3 years or 4 years, we have had things like this. So Allahu A'lam, it should be left general. So a woman that is that has ablution and she wants to cleanse the anus or the organ, the male organ or the female organ of her, and she has to touch. So if she touches the private part, what happens? The ablution still valid or not? Still valid? No, the ablution is invalid. According to the view of majority of the scholars. Some scholars have said what? This is an exception. Allahu A'lam. Ma yujibu al-ghusl wa yajibu tuhur mimma zakarna. The author says it is compulsory to do purification from what you have mentioned. من خروج الماء الدافق للذات في نوم أو يقظة من رجل أمرأة. Such as what? The coming out of الماء الدافق. The ماء, the fluid that is gushing out, للذات, out of pleasure, في نوم, in dream, أو يقظة, or in state of wakefulness. من رجل, either from a man, أو امرأة, or from a woman. The mani, the seminal fluid that a man will release, if the seminal fluid comes out, then it is compulsory on one to do tatahur, which means the person is what? Is having janaba. And Allah said what? وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَهَّرُوا. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَطَهَّرُوا. If you have janaba, فَطَهَّرُوا, then you purify yourself. So how do you purify yourself? the hadith of the Prophet has explained how to do the purification of having janaba. So the one who releases al-maniyu out of pleasure, such a person will have to take ghusl. Now, this may also occur. One may release mani while one is asleep. So the most important thing is what? The wetness. When you wake up and can find this wetness, and you are sure that this wetness is not wetness of madi, it's wetness of mani. Is it clear? The one who sleeps, he wakes up, he discovers that it's wet. He looks at the wetness. Is this wetness the wetness of mani or wetness of madi? What is madi? Now? Nobody? What is madi? Or differentiate between madi and mani? Semen and the light and the thick one. Okay? We have just mentioned some of the differences. Okay? When does madi come out? When does mani come out?
Mani with pleasure.
Mani with pleasure?
Mani without pleasure. Mani with pleasure.
Okay. Mani comes out of remembrance often. Mani comes when one is what? Having sexual intercourse. So that is generally. But at times, somebody may be affected. Somehow, maybe if he thinks about a woman, he may watch, he may release mani. So that means we have to differentiate between what? You know, the attributes of mani. Mani comes out with what? It's peak and it's what? It's gushing. And what comes after it? There'll be weakness after it. Now, if one is asleep, one may not be able to. One may not be able to take note of all this. But if one wakes up, you differentiate between what? You may be able to differentiate between the wetness. Is this wetness the wetness of mani or wetness of mani? One can differentiate this. So if one is sure that it is mani, then one has to take ghusl. The person has caught janaba. And Allah said, when kuntum junuban, fatahharu. So you have to purify yourself when you catch janaba. How this is clear. Then there is this hadith that one who has it, who feels that he's having sexual intercourse in dream, or is having sexual intercourse while asleep, and he wakes up, he doesn't see anything. Is he going to take ghusl?
No.
There is a hadith that innama al-ma'u min al-ma'i. That is, you take ghusl min al-ma' when fluid comes out. Which fluid is he talking about?
Mani.
So the fact that somebody sleeps and he has sexual intercourse in dream doesn't mean he has to take ghusl when he wakes up. It is only when he finds mani. If he finds what? Mani when he wakes up, that he's going to take ghusl. Even if he doesn't remember having sexual intercourse with anybody in dream, but on waking up, he finds what? He finds mani on his garment. The wetness, and he cannot recollect when this actually happened, then in a situation like this, he has to take what? Ghusl. إنما الماء من الماء. How this is clear. Now, in a situation where somebody has sexual intercourse as well, that is in the state of wakefulness, but the person does not ejaculate, but he has inserted his organ as the organ of the female. He now brings out or he removes his male organ. Such a person, is he going to take ghusl or not? He's going to take ghusl. Because of the hadith, إِذَا جَلَسَ بَيْنَ الشُّعَبِ الْأَرْبَعِ ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ. If it is, that is, if he places the male organ in the vagina of the woman, ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا, he makes attempt, فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ. Then ghusl is what? Is compulsion. When Lam use the woman, if it does not release. Is that clear? Now the hadith of إِنَّمَا الْمَاءُ مِنَ الْمَاءُ, this has to do with the state of dream. When one is what? In state of dream. That is what hadith is talking about. But when one is not in a state of dream, one is in a state of wakefulness. It is not a mode that one ejaculates before wudu is what? Compulsion. The most important thing is what? The insertion of the male organ in the female organ. Once it is inserted, then it is compulsion. In the early stage of Islam, one become or will become junub if one ejaculated. But later this was abrogated. This was what? Abrogated. So one becomes junub even if one does not ejaculate. The most important thing is that one insert one male organ in the female organ, then it is become compulsory. It becomes of compulsory on both of them to take ghusl. ويجب طول مما ذكرنا من خروج الماء الدافئ للذات في نوم أو يقظة بين رجل أو امرأة. The women, they also have their own fluid that comes out during sexual intercourse. Just that they also have what? Mani. They have mani. And the mani of the females or the women is different from that of the men. But we know that is what forms the zygote is not actually the mani itself of the female. The mani of the male has what you know as what? The spermatozoa. Huh? The mani of the male, the men, has what is called spermatozoa. The mani of the female does not contain this, but in the womb of the woman or the fallopian tube, from the ovary, the ova, so to say, will be released. A messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also described that as what? Ma. He said, if the mani of the man, if it beats that of the woman, then the child will be what? Male. And if that of the woman beats that of the man, it will be female. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. But the analysis of this will be left in the hand of the medical doctors who can talk more about this. So you talk about the Y chromosome, the X chromosome, the likes. So what you are trying to say is that what the woman has a fluid. This fluid comes out when they have sexual intercourse. So that of the woman, even if she sees this alone, if a woman feels that somebody sleeps with her in a dream, if she wakes up and she sees this, inamalimau, inamalimau. Is it clear? Now, if a woman doesn't see this when she wakes up, then there is no taking of ghusl. Is it clear? Now, if a man sleeps with a woman and the man does not ejaculate, is the woman going to take ghusl? Yes. Because it's a jalasa, بين الشعب الأربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب الغسل. Now that report is التقى الخطانان if the two خطان circumcised parts if they meet. So Messenger of Allah is referring to the male organ, the female organ meeting, not the circumcised because it is the male circumcised organ cannot reach the female circumcised area. But it's referring to the organ, the insertion of the male organ in the female organ. How this is clear. So, our inquiry done in Haida, now, Tur is also compulsory. Tur is also compulsory as a result of what? In Kitori Damil Haido, the break or the stop of the Haido block. Our Istihaba or that of Istihaba. Our Nifas or that of Nifas. أو بمغيب الحشفة في الفرج وإن لم ينزل. Now what is الحيض? الحيض in the Arabic language is سيلان. سيلان means what? The flowing of something. If this is سال الماء, the water flowed. So the حيض means what? Flowing. But technically, it means the flowing of a blood that comes from the womb. You know, the egg released by a woman, this egg will pass through the fallopian tube down to the womb. If this egg is not fertilized, the womb will be preparing. It will have a kind of thickening lining. So if it is not fertilized, this thickening lining will break and what blood will come. And this is when he said that a woman is menstruating. Because if the egg is fertilized, this lining in the womb that has thickened would have what be a source of a kind of nourishing for the zygote. But since there is no fertilization, it means this thickening lining that has prepared itself will break. And this will be the blood of Hajj. So and that's why they say it is Sayalanu Dam Mina Rahim, the flow of the blood from the uterus, from the womb. So this is called Hajj. Then istihada. Istihada is different from hajj. Istihada is a kind of break in a vessel in the womb that also makes the blood come out. So this is istihada. So that's why scholars will say istihada is like a sickness. But hajj is damu tabi'ah. Dam, high is what? Dam tobia. It's a natural blood. The reason for which is what you have mentioned. But out of ijtihad is the blood also coming from the womb. But this is as a result of what? A break of one of the vessels. Not that has nothing to do with what? With the height. It has nothing to do with what? With the new egg, with the thickening lining. Now the question is, how are we going to differentiate between and ijtihad? How is the woman going to differentiate? Both of them, they come out through the vagina. So how is the woman going to differentiate between this? And nifas is the blood that comes out when a woman delivers the baby or is delivering the baby. So there is what? Agreement on this. The blood that comes out when a woman is delivering the baby or after the woman has delivered the baby. This is known as what? Nifas. The blood that comes before the delivery, maybe a day or 2 days before the delivery, is this also considered nifas? Majority of the scholars said yes, it is considered nifas because it is part of what? The labor. So it has connection with the child to be delivered. While some scholars said no, we will not consider that as nifas. Now, nifas is the blood that comes after the delivery or when the woman is delivering a baby. That is nifas. It is clear to know nifas. But is it possible that nifas is also mixed with ijtihad? So the question is, are we going to differentiate between nifas and ijtihad? Are we going to differentiate between haid and ijtihad? Haid is the breaking of the thickening lining of the womb when the egg is not fertilized. Nifas is the blood that comes out when a woman delivers a baby or during the delivery, or according to some scholars, even a day or 2 days before the delivery. So if haid is clear, nifas is clear, how are we going to differentiate between nifas and ijtihad? And how are we going to differentiate between haid and ijtihad? Now, who can benefit us? Anybody?
If the
harbor doesn't stop, if the harbor may stop at times, it may stop, but it may take time to stop, but it will stop. Now, this topic of haid is to have on the fast is one of the most detailed, one of the most detailed topics of fiqh that scholars will write volumes on them, because there are a lot of words, disagreements, a lot of controversies on them. But if you look at the available ahadith on them, if one stick by the available ahadith, one will get a way out. Now scholars will say that أقلوا أيام الحيض the least days for hajj, majority of scholars will say it is 1 day. That is, a woman will menstruate now and maybe tomorrow the menstruation is gone. Is it clear? A woman menstruates today, and maybe tomorrow, the menstruation has stopped. So they will say what? Akonlu, ayyam il hayt. The least day that a woman can menstruate is what? Is yawmun wa layla. A complete day, a whole day, in power, that is it. Wa aksaru ayyam il hayt. The most day that a woman can menstruate is what? 15 days. So a woman that is seeing blood coming out of her vagina, maybe for the first time in her life, scholars will say she should wait for 1 day. Then after that, she should what? She should take a bath and start praying, even when the blood has not stopped. Then she washed, or she washes. How many days this is going to last? Say it lasts for 7 days, 10 days, and the like. So the following month she will also watch that. The days that she lasts, it lasts. The 10th month again. They will say from this she cannot draw that this is the day that this is the day of what? Menstruation, that she menstruates for maybe 5 days. 8-5 days is the least. Is this clear? So scholars will say this. They will say this. That if they will say for a mustada, a woman that has just seen blood, or a girl that has just seen blood, she will have to wait for 3 months before she can say, okay, this is my menstruation. This is, I do my menstruation for 3 days, or for 4 days, or for 5 days. So the least, maybe this month she does it for 5 days, the following month, 6 days, the following month, 7 days. So she will take what? Five. Because five appears in the three. Huh? Six appears once, seven appears once. So that she will take five. Now they say she should be praying. What about the prayer that she's been doing? Or she has been watched offering? So she has prayed while she was menstruating. If she has fasted during that period, they say she will pay that back, that fast. Because she has fasted while menstruating. Now they are taking her back now to say that, oh, though we said the first day you should watch, you shouldn't pray. The second day, you take your ghusl, you start praying. This is to confirm how many days will be your ada. Now we have now confirmed that your ada is 5 days, for instance. So you have not fasted. You have fasted in those days that you are not supposed to fast because you are menstruating. Now, after that of prayer, it's okay, we don't, because ordinarily, if you are menstruating, you are not supposed to pray. So the prayer that you have prayed, let us leave that. Because ordinarily, you are not supposed to, but fasting, you are supposed to fast. And you have fasted while you are menstruating. So which means you don't have what? Fasting. So you have to pay back that fasting. This is the way the majority of scholars will explain this. But Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala and some others can say it, well, would not have any text in the Sharia that says aqallu ayyam al-hayd yawm walida. There is not any evidence in the Sharia that says it, that is authentic. The more correct opinion is that when a woman sees blood coming out of her, she should consider that as what? Menstruation. Until proven otherwise. Is it clear? Until proven otherwise. Now, the third, the most days is 15 days. Where did they get this? They said they got this from experience. That they have seen women who are menstruating for 2 days, some menstruating for 3 days, some menstruating for 5 days, some 10, some 12, The highest that they've seen is 15 minutes. So based on this, we are going to base the highest days of menstruation on what? 15. So any blood that comes out after 15 days should be regarded as istihad. Is that clear? Any blood seen after 15 days should be considered as what? Istihad. This Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and some other scholars, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and many other scholars like that, Sheikh Lasbang, they said there is no evidence for this as well. It does not matter whether a woman menstruates for 20 days, 10 days, so there is no any text that fits the days. So what we have is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about the blood. When this woman went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the women who had istihara, that is what Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا كَانَ دَمُ الْحَيْتِ بِهِ دَمُ الْحَيْتِ. He said, فَإِنَّهُ دَمُ الْأَصْوَجِ. It is what? Black blood. Huh? It's blackish. يُعْرَفُ, that can be identified. Another report, يُعْرِفُ, that stinks. So a woman that sees the blackish blood, so to say, knows that it is what? Height. If she can also identify this with the odor, that of istihada doesn't smell, it's just like ordinary blood. But that of height smells, that's one. That of you're talking about height. So that of height, when it comes out, it does not clutch. That of istihada, when it comes out, it clutches. Is that clear? So if a woman can differentiate between the height and istihada through this way, then that would be the best. So she will be left with our Creator. The Messenger of Allah said what? Damu aswad. Yu'rafu aw yu'rifu. That stinks, or that is known by the women. However, that doesn't mean that what it can be reddish or yellowish or something like that. Because Ummu Atiyya radiallahu anha said, Kunna la na'uddu al-kudrata wa-sufrata ba'da tuhri shay'an. She said, as contained in Sunan Abi Dawud, he said, Al-Qudra, that is the Qudra, like a brownish color, so to say, or the Sufra, the yellowish color, that looks like yellow, that we see, by the tour, after we have purified ourselves, we use not to regard it as Shay'an, as part of what Hajj. The mafhum al-mukhalafa here is that what? Kunna na'uddu al-qudrata wa-sufra qabla turi min al-hajj. That means they regard it as part of the hajj. So which means it may be blackish, yellowish, or brownish. So it depends on... But if a woman knows, can differentiate between these, so that should be, to consider that to be what? A'ada, that is a menstrual period. Then if the blood, if she sees blood apart from this, this will be taken as what? Istihada. They have different rulings, as we shall explain inshallah. So having established that there is no minimum day, and there is no what? Maximum day. So what matters is what? A, for the woman to know to differentiate between the two blood. Secondly, a woman may be used to be menstruating 5 days every month. That is the ada. So if she sees blood more than 5 days, this means that what? She will count the 5 days as part of the hajj. Then the remaining days, as what? Istihara. Unless if what she sees, in addition to the day, looks like what? Height. Is that clear? Based on what you have said, is what? Damu aswadi'u or yu'ri. If the blood that she's seen looks like what? Height. In terms of what? Color, in terms of the odor. Then in that case, she will consider it as what? As hairun, if it is more than the gaze that she's been used to. But in a situation where she cannot recognize that, she sticks to the gaze that what? She's used to. Is it clear? A woman is used to menstruating for 5 days. This month, she has seen the blood for about 6 or 7 days, or 8 days. What are we going to do with the remaining 3 days? So, firstly, she will have to look at what? The blood. Is it the same blood that is coming? The same color, the same odor? If yes, then she should consider it as what? Part of her height. If no, that should be treated as what? Istihara. Is that clear? But if she cannot differentiate, then she takes what? She takes the 5 days that is her hand. Off, you are with me. So the first one is what? At-tamyiz. To be able to differentiate between the two types of blood. The second one is what? Al-Ada. So such a woman they call her in the fiqh. They call her Mu'tada. They call her what? Mu'tada. The one that is what? That knows Al-Ada. Then the one that can differentiate between the two types of blood, they call her Mumayiza. Then the one that cannot differentiate, they call her, the one that is just beginning, they call her Mubtada'a. Mubtada'a means what? The one that blood has just come to. Is that clear? So we have what? Al-Mubtada'a, Al-Mumayyiza, and Al-Mu'tada. Now in the case of Al-Mubtada'a, she cannot differentiate, because she has not seen one before. She doesn't have what an ada. What happens to such a person? That the blood is what? Flowing continuously. The blood is what? Flowing continuously. She cannot differentiate between the height and the tahara because she has not done one before. The blood is just continuous. So in a situation like this, we apply the hadith of Hamnatu bint Jash. A woman that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained. He said, O Messenger of Allah, inni ustahadu. Inni ustahadu. I'm suffering from istihada. Haidatan shadida. See this one. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, let me describe for you what you can use to cope that. He described, recommended for her that she should use what? Kursu. That she should use kursu, that is cotton wool. The woman said, it is more than that. Innama asuddu sajjan. I'm just pouring the blood. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended clothes. She said, more than that. Messenger of Allah asked her to tie a lot of clothes in order to what? Block that. To prevent the gushing out of the blood or the spilling of the blood. Concerning the salah, Messenger of Allah recommended how she would do that. Because you can't pray when you have what? Height. And you have to pray as a Muslim or a Muslima. The Messenger of Allah said, فَحَيَّضِي سِتَّةَ أَوْ سَبْعَةَ أَيَّامٍ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ. Take 6 days of 7 days as your days of Hajj. Then the remaining 24 or 23 days Messenger of Allah said she should consider that as the days of food, which means what? She will be praying, she will be fasting if it is time for what she wants to do, voluntary fast. If she wants to pray Nafila or the composing Salah, she will be doing all this. Things that an Ahij or a Hajj will avoid, should avoid them during these 6 or 7 days. But the remaining 23 or 24 days, so to say, she will watch, she will be doing all things that a Tahir, somebody who is pure, will do. The case of Hannah is either somebody who has just started or somebody who has what? Who is confused. Who is what? Confused, cannot differentiate between the two. And she doesn't remember, or she did not remember the ada. Is that clear? She did not remember the ada. If she had remembered the ada, Messenger of Allah would have what? Advised her to take the ada. As he advised another woman, he said that that is salah ayyam akra'ik. Leave the salah during the period of what? Of your Hajj. Says he said, for either advarat, if this goes, said for Sunday, or accessible for Sunday, take your ruslu and watch and continue to pray. Even if the God is still coming. So you just can't, you stick to the days that you are used to. But in the case of a person who has just started, or a person who has been doing it before, but she's confused, to the extent that she cannot remember the days that she's used to, such a person would take 6 or 7 days. The one that she likes, she takes 6 or 7 days. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended that she should be performing ablution for every salah. And she also take what? Ghusl. But this woman would take ghusl for every salah. This is not compulsory. How this is played? This is a habit, just to summarize it. Scholars, they have a lot of statements, but the most important is what Hajj and Istihada. There is no any text that says this is the minimum or this is the maximum day. Somebody may menstruate for 20 days, 15 days. It depends on the order of that person. Now, on Nifas. Nifas is the blood that comes out when a woman is delivering or when she has delivered. We said a lot of scholars also consider the one that comes out before the delivery, that is, when she was laboring. They consider that as part of Nifas. Now, Nifas continues the maximum in the Sharia, according to the hadith of Umm Salama, which is condition of Abu Dawud, and some other books, 6 days for 40 days. Some scholars believe that this hadith is not authentic. So they said what? There is no minimum day for the Nifas, and there is no maximum day. As long as a woman knows that this is the blood of Nifas, even if it is more than 50 days, 60 days, she continues. But if she's not, she cannot differentiate, then she go back to 40 days. This is the opinion of Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. But wallahu alam, a woman stick to 40 days because this hadith is authenticated by majority of the scholars, and this is a factor of a lot of companions as well. So 40 days. So if the blood stops before 40 days, so there is no minimum. A woman that delivers a baby, the blood stops 5 days after, she should go and purify herself and start what? Praying, compulsory. She should not wait 40 days. But if the blood doesn't stop till 40 days, then after 40 days, she should take a ghusl and start praying, only if the blood is what? Still coming. So the blood that is still coming will be considered as istihada according to majority of the scholars. So this is what on Hajj, istihada, and Nifas. So we take ghusl, and the ghusl that we take is like the ghusl of janaba, the same way. of taking the ghuslu. Inshallah, Rasulullah wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Thank you.